Our reading today is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 4 to 10, and chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
This past year, we've been talking about our story. We talked about God's story. We started way back in September with a book called The Story, where they have taken the Bible and put it in chronological order. And in 31 weeks, we walked our way through the Bible. And then, in the month of May, we've talked about not only God's story for those people, but God's story here in this place. We talked about Crossroads' story that began in a school, in a warehouse, in another warehouse, and then was built here in this place. We've talked about how God has continued to work through the people that have come to be part of the Crossroads family, and some that are no longer here with us. Last week, I gave you some ideas on how you could write your own story, reminding you that you should have a couple different versions if possible. Maybe first the big one, right? But you wait to share that. If someone asks you about your faith story, maybe you have a one-minute version, the highlights, right? Or if they want to give you a little more time, the five-minute version. And then for those who really sit with you, the long story. I shared that with you, and then I shared that anyone who wants to share their story is welcome to come up and do so. And so this week, you get to hear my story. If you know me, you know part of my story. I think that very few know all of my story. And sometimes that includes me. As the main character in my story, I have my own perspective on how I have lived my life and who has been a part of my story. But as I prepared for today, I was reminded that my story has been influenced by a number of factors, including by people that I cannot name or remember. I had a book on my shelf that's called Teaching Our Story, edited by Larry Goleman. And in it, it says this: the ability to remember or recover a story, what has been forgotten or what is lost, is a key to survival. This pattern of remembering and forgetting also describes the act of interpretation. Interpretation is an activity of repressing and reconstructing, of forgetting and remembering, and that activity, by its very nature, resists completion. For me, that means that if you've heard my story before, it might sound different to you today than you remember it. Both your memory and my memory are affected by time, by forgetting and remembering. It's not to say that I'm lying or that I'm making up my story when I tell it to you today, and I'm not trying to deceive anyone, but I'm sharing that my story is a gift, and that gift is a gift in the present. that's true for each one of you as well. Your story is a gift, and it's a gift best given in the present. That same book indicated that there are risks to telling one's story. They highlight the risk for the listener, but I believe the risk is for both parties. And the risk is of inflicting harm. It would be very detrimental, or at least not a positive moment, if I were to share with you my story and it harmed you or I in some way. Perhaps that's sometimes the forgotten benefits of going to therapy. Right? Because if you can work through all those layers in the safety of your therapist's office, perhaps then when you go to share your story with someone, it can be done in a way that doesn't hurt them or yourself. Now, that's not a fail-safe practice, because we don't always know the circumstances of the listener. We don't know what you came here with today. And sometimes, we're not even familiar enough with our own story or our own situation to recognize our triggers and to find when a retelling of our story might hurt this time. Lastly, before I get into my story, there is this ever-important gift of imagination. A gift of imagination. There's a form of co-authorship that happens when we listen to each other, when we hear each other's story. This unintentional process can make the listener hear not necessarily what was intended as the message from the speaker. For instance, if I said, muddy puddles, some of you went right back to a Bluey episode, right? Oh, I'm sorry, Peppa Pig, right? Muddy puddles, Peppa Pig, right? And you're just playing that in your mind and you're seeing those pigs dance, right? And you're not hearing anything else about muddy puddles. Right? Some of you went straight to a lake with a fishing pole in hand as soon as I said muddy puddles. But all the while, I might be trying to share with you a transformational part of my story of feeling dirty and being washed clean through the cleansing power of Jesus. And you're still dancing with pigs. Yeah. With all of that introduction, I wish to share with you a portion of my story today with a hope that in my sharing, you may be moved by the Holy Spirit. You may be connected to your Creator or inspired to walk with Jesus. My timeline would say that my story began on the day that I was born, October 31. Or maybe it's when my parents first knew about me. I don't have memory of either of those. But I do have a gift of the feelings my mother had that she shared with me, and I have the newspaper clipping from my birth announcement. My story, as it pertains to my faith, most likely began then as well, as a cradle Methodist, that's what my mom always called it. I was born to parents that were at least third generation Methodist. The story goes that my father's grandfather was part of the church back in 1884, when he lit a pile of leaves on fire and went home for lunch. And so he was one of the ones who burned the church down. For me, my faith was the strongest and most formed, I believe, in my young years. Through being part of many church services and experiences and family camps, I was invited into a community. Or maybe more accurately, I could say I was expected to be there. Being at church was just part of our life. My mother brought us to everything. And if she was a part of it, us kids were too. I remember seeing my mother, who wouldn't say a single word out loud in public or ever stand up in a microphone or in front of a group. I remember watching her run the ice cream socials of our church like it was no big deal. I also remember the day that she had tears because a grouchy old lady asked if us kids could leave because we were just causing too much ruckus at that ice cream social. We left, and so did my mother. But I remember also these wonderful feelings of being accepted and appreciated and nurtured at church. I remember that there was an expectation of participation. And it wasn't just for the adults. It was for everyone. The kids, too. There was a job for everyone, my mom would say. I remember my grandparents and my aunt were my Sunday school teachers throughout the years. I also know there were others, but those are the ones I remember the most. It's really special having your grandpa teach you, right? My aunt's favorite thing to do was to have us memorize the books of the Bible. We'd do it as a class, but then when you were ready to do them all by yourself, you could win a family-sized bag of M&Ms or Skittles just for you, and you didn't have to share. Yeah, that was a big deal. I told you that my mom got me the cassette tape and that book called We Sing Bible Songs. I listened to it a lot. I could still probably sing you every song and every poem in order in this book if I tried. Because these songs have become the cornerstone of my understanding of who God is and how I relate to God. And when it was time to sponsor cornerstones for our church for a fundraiser, I purchased one with my cousins in honor of my grandparents that had taught us so much, because they had been a cornerstone in our faith story. When I came to Crossroads, I met Heath. And he shared with me that his grandma Sandy had the songs for this book too, and that she had taught them to him. It was a very important connection for me. Heath is the first person that I met that could sing all of the songs in this book with me. What an amazing gift Grandma Sandy and Grandpa Frank have been in your faith story, Heath. The scriptures that I chose for today are part of my story. I was asked one time to name a verse that meant a lot to me, something that I really connected with, and I was scared because I had no idea. I had never thought of one verse being mine or just for me. So I sat with my Bible and I paged through it, and I hoped something would jump out at me. And then I grabbed my concordance that my mom's mom, Grandma Sarah, gave me. And I looked through there. And I finally found this verse in Psalms that Abigail shared with you today. I memorized it so that whenever someone wanted my verse, I could share it. His pleasure is not the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of man. But he takes pleasure in those who trust in him, who trust in his constant love. I've mixed up the words many times over the years. Does that happen to you? But the point is the same. This verse is so important to me because it talks about the runner, and I am not a runner. And then it talks about a horse, and I am afraid of horses. Every time I ride on a horse, I get hurt. Seriously. The only time the horse has ever run into a tree. The only time the horse has ever bucked someone off. The only time the horse refused to walk on the trail. Always me. Yeah, I just see a horse at a distance and I start to cry, right? So you can see why this was my verse. Yeah. Because it says I don't have to be all those things. I just have to trust in God. I have to trust in God's constant love. It does work. Ephesians is a letter from Paul to the church, and I love those letters that Paul wrote. Our reading today affirms for me that salvation, my connection to God, has less to do with me and more to do about God. I'm forgiven because of Christ. I am loved by God. It is by God's grace that I have been saved. And therefore, Ephesians 4, it says, I am to live a life worthy of the calling you have received as part of the body of Christ. We are called to one hope. We are called to be patient, not a gift of mine, but we are called to be patient and to bear with one another in love. We are to do this together. I have found great peace in my place in these verses, and I also hear them as a really big challenge. Duty. I have wrestled with my call, with my understanding of what God needs from me, what my duty to respond is, and how I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I think, Christ, you can give me all the strength you want. Right now I need sleep. I need patience. I need understanding. I need a calm voice. But I guess maybe we can do all those things through Christ too. I asked Abigail if she would sing a song for me today from that We Sing Bible Songs book. She's going to come on up here, and she's going to sing the first verse. And I would invite, if you'd like, to join in the other verses. Heath, you jump in whenever you know it, okay? As she's walking up here, I would just like to offer that you may feel blessing today. May you be blessed to be a blessing. May your actions and your inactions both be grace-filled. And may you know that you are loved this day and always.